Greetings from the studio, live at the broadcast bunker at the Bob Davis Podcasts.com. It's Friday. Hard to believe another week has gone by, and we are getting ready to roll radio show number 68 for this week. And this is a good one because it talks about real ID and it talks about Obamacare and what is going on with the state legislature in Minnesota on real ID and also the Congress when it comes to this supposed imminent repeal of Obamacare. So we're going to talk about that in podcast 607. Let's just go ahead and roll segment one. Here we go. Welcome to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, visit the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Welcome. In this week's show, we're on the eve of a lot of controversy nationally about the repeal of Obamacare, whether it will happen or not, what they're going to do with it, and so forth. And in Minnesota, we're on the eve of a lot of controversy about something called Real ID. So to talk about these issues, we're joined by Twyla Braze. We're going to talk to Twyla, president and co-founder of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, CCHF. She is a national authority on healthcare and insurance and freedom and privacy and on the effects of Obamacare. If there's something you want to know about those issues, particularly the Affordable Care Act, she is one of the best people in the country to talk to about it. So here we go. I think I got her on the line. I took a look at your, you do an email for people that are signed up to, of the CCHF newsletter.
Right.
And you put a piece in there about Real ID, which in fact is, and I don't know what they ended up doing in the legislature, but we've been treated to a lot of stuff about Real ID. And I think a lot of people think it is photo ID, and I don't think people really fully understand what real ID is. So I want you to start there. What is real ID?
So real ID is the result. Well, it's a card, and it is under federal specifications. So in 2005, I guess this is the best way to say it. In 2005, Congress, in the middle of the night, without any kind of public debate, passed the Real ID Act of 2005. And in that act, they said that the states should create driver's licenses and identification cards that fit federal specifications and that will then be used for certain federal purposes. And so what Real ID is essentially a federal ID.
Right, which is supposed to be unconstitutional. We're not supposed to, that's supposed to be the purveyance of the state, right?
That's right. And it's been interesting to look at what has come out of some other legislators, other legislatures, like in Pennsylvania, where they wrote a letter to Trump, basically telling him this whole thing is unconstitutional. It's an unfunded mandate. It creates a national identity registry.
Yes.
And it's a burden on the public who's going to have to find their birth certificate. The people are going to have to re-register themselves with the government through the state. So it is so much more than what people think. People think, oh, okay, this is just what I need to fly. No. This is a federal ID card under federal control. It is the federal government taking control of identification in every state. Identification is a state function. But the federal government has basically come in and said, we're going to take over identification. And with it, we'll take over movement, commerce, buying and selling. And the reason that they can do that, and that just shows you it's not just about identification, is what the law says. So if Minnesota decides that they're going to follow or comply with or conform to the Real ID Act of 2005, they're complying with everything that's in there. And that's what the bills say, that they will fully comply. And what's in there is the ability of one bureaucrat, the Secretary of Homeland Security, to decide what are the official purposes for which the Real ID card, the for federal purposes card,
so it becomes an executive, basically an executive decision that's supported by the law that's already been passed. What is the position of the Trump administration on this? I thought Republicans were electing Republicans to prevent this kind of thing from happening.
Well, The Trump administration, we haven't got a full handle on, but we have seen some comments by the new Secretary of Homeland Security. One comment in the news was, well, you know, the law is the law. Well, that sort of doesn't matter because, you know what, the Supreme Court has ruled several times that the federal government cannot compel a state to implement or enact a federal regulatory program. And this is why you have seen over the last 8 years or so, five different deadlines for enforcement. And well, why is it five, not just one? Because as soon as they would come in, you know, to try and stop people from flying is the first time that they would be sued for a violation of the 10th Amendment. So if they can just scare the American people and convince
into
them
into accepting this and pushing their state legislatures to make it state law, then the states will take care of the compliance issue.
Well, then the states will have agreed to be commandeered by the federal government.
Yeah, and so then so much for the challenge. But supposedly the whole thing about getting on an airplane, and one of the state legislatures in Minnesota put out a whole video that said, look, the whole reason we're doing this is you won't be able to get on an airplane if you don't have it. That's nonsense, yes?
Yes, it's completely nonsense. First of all, it's unconstitutional to say that from the federal government. If the state doesn't do what the federal government says, all the people are going to not be able to fly. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the rule, the Homeland Security rule about Real ID actually admits that people can still fly even if they don't have a Real ID, and they can still enter federal buildings even if they don't have a Real ID. So this is just really meant to scare the public. It's meant to get them to convince their legislators to pass the bill, even though it's completely a violation of the 10th Amendment and the constitutional rights of the public.
And so what about this idea that states have to comply with this? It isn't even a federal law. I guess it is a law passed by Congress, but.
Sure. It's an unconstitutional law passed by Congress. It's one of those laws that is exactly what happened in 2009. So 2009, 2007, a whole bunch of states, I think maybe up to 30 states, passed state laws refusing to comply with Real ID because they saw the encroachment of the federal government against their 10th Amendment rights.
So this 48 states have gotten behind this thing is not true.
No. That's actually not true. And there are still states that have laws that say that they will not comply with Real ID. But, of course, the federal government is just squeezing them all, you know, issuing extensions, telling all their people that they won't fly, putting notices up in airports so lots of people can see that they won't be able to fly, even though that they can, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at the map from the Department of Homeland Security, what you see there is that there are five states that have not complied and they do not have extensions. Those are in red. And then there's a bunch of states, about 25 of them, in green. Those have all complied, although we don't think that they've all connected their database to the big database yet.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. So you kind of dealt with that a little bit, but there is a database behind this that people might not realize. So it's also an invasion of privacy. This is beyond just you get an ID and you can get on a plane.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting because regularly at the legislature, all the legislators say, well, you know, there's really no national database. Oh, yes, there is. Oh, yes, there is. The 2008 rule for Real ID talks about the hub. The hub is located in the state of Virginia, and it's like a hub and spoke system. The whole idea is that every state will connect to this hub, and every state will send information about every cardholder to the hub. The hub has a master pointer system, so that if you happen to be in Wyoming, let's say, and you're from Minnesota, you're in Wyoming, you now want a Wyoming driver's license, right? So you go to the bureau, and the bureau pings the hub.
So they know where you are.
That's right. And they find that little cache of information on you, which then tells them that, oh, you're from Minnesota. You can find the rest of Bob's information in Minnesota. So this central hub will have information on every person that has a card in the country. It is a national identity registry, which is what the Pennsylvania legislators say.
All right, coming up, I want to ask you why Minnesota legislators are supporting this and talking talking about this, and then we got to talk about Obamacare. We'll talk about that coming up. All right, more with Twyla Brays coming up. We'll talk about Obamacare and Real ID next. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. All right, just ahead of segment two, hey, it's definitely warming up, a little too early to talk about air conditioning checks, but you've got a lot of different systems in your home. You got plumbing, you got heating, you've got air conditioning. If you have a business, you probably have even more complex system, especially if it's some kind of retail business. So if you need emergency service, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at your business or at home when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems when we get into the warm weather, you want reliable service. And your heating and plumbing and water heater have been working overtime all winter. So remember, for emergency service, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul with this stuff. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. We will be talking about upgrades. We'll be talking about air conditioning checks when it gets warm. But again, if you have needs for emergency service, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs to, again, four generations, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Let's get to segment two of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. For all the podcasts, you visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. You can sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter. Lots of outbound links and information about the podcasts that you listen to when you listen on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. They're streaming, so check it out, thebobdavispodcasts.com. All right, let's get back to Twyla Brays, president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We're going to talk about Real ID and start talking a little bit about Obamacare. We're back talking with Twyla Brays from Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and we were talking about Real ID just moments ago. And we're talking about how this is really, an infraction by the federal government. You talked about the hub and spoke system for collecting information. We've kind of blown up the idea that 48 states are supposedly behind this, that you're saying it's only actually a handful. They're talking about passing it in the state of Minnesota. And I got to ask, what you're in contact and you're down at the Capitol here in St. Paul all the time. Why are they supporting this? What's wrong with these Republican legislators, who are supposed to be for liberty and freedom, supposedly? Isn't that what Republicanism is all about?
Yes. Well, so I think there are two things. There's what they say, and then there's really why. So what they say is they just want to give people, you know, the ability to keep flying and get into military bases to see their sons and daughters. That's right. What they say. Right. But what this really is about, we believe, is that this is about the next election for governor. We believe that Kurt Dowd, speaker, really wants to be governor. We know that the Chamber of Commerce is supporting this. The big business is supporting this. Delta is supporting this. So all of these big players are supporting this, and we believe this probably has something to do with funding for the next gubernatorial campaign.
You wouldn't. How dare you suggest such a thing? You know, I call the Chamber of Commerce the Chambers of Italian Fascism. That's what I call them. So you certainly... So
this is nothing that you would ever hear them say. But, you know, when we sit there at every hearing and we hear the author of the bill, and and so many people continuing to say the same mistruths, misleading the public, saying you won't be able to fly. When we have testified every time, we've shown documents where it says you will be able to fly. And of course, constitutionally, the federal government can't even make them do it. And so we have asked, you know, why don't you just stand up and tell the people what the truth is here?
What do they say when you say that?
That's your job, Twyla.
So you're saying that because that's your job. We expect you to say that, in other words.
No. It's our job to inform the public. But
what?
We believe it is the legislator's job to inform the public about what the truth is. And the truth, but you know, if they're all moving in one direction because they want to please the speaker or the GOP leadership or whomever is totally running this, if they want to do that, then they can't afford to tell the public what the truth is. Because then what they're really saying is, we won't stand up for you. You know, our oath, their oath of office is that they have to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, that includes the 10th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And so they should just be standing up like those 116 Pennsylvania legislators who wrote to Trump, or the 10 Missouri senators who told their AG to defend us against this encroachment of the federal government, or the Secretary of Maine who wrote an article and said, you know, this is Orwellian and it must not happen. So, you know, this is what our legislators should be doing, but we believe there is another agenda here, and that's the one that we think is happening. But of course, it's never been, you know, mouthed.
Well, I mean, it's common knowledge, the get all the legislators in a room and yell at them and tell them they have to toe the line. Those stories are legendary, but nobody ever talks about those either. And usually they come from leadership, so it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, we have a lot of, we do know, and it has become public, that leadership has indeed twisted arms and told people to take a walk during the committee when the votes came up, or just to not come.
Meaning the people that would potentially oppose it.
The people that would oppose it and be in no vote.
Yeah. So you guys usually handle Obamacare stuff, and that was kind of the genesis of the creation of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. And you've obviously, you're a national authority on Obamacare, and you've done some great service in terms of informing people about it. How does an organization like yours get, where do you get off sending out a press release about Real ID?
Yes. Well, you know, we are a freedom organization, and so we do see the end of freedom as soon as you start erasing the lines between states by giving the federal government this kind of control. But there is an actual connection for healthcare, because as I said, the Secretary of Homeland Security has unilateral authority, does not have to go back to Congress, unilateral authority to expand the federal purposes, the official purposes for which the Real ID card must be used. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the very next one, so there's three, right? Getting onto commercial aircraft, federal buildings, and access to nuclear facilities. These are the ones in the law, but the law says, and any other official purposes as determined by the secretary. We believe it would be very easy for the next official purpose to be healthcare. There are, after all, 55 million people in Medicare and 74 million people in Medicaid, you know, all federally regulated, an industry with fraud because of the huge federal involvement in healthcare. So we easily believe that this could become the card that Hillary wanted, which was, you know, a national health security
card. The famous Hillary
care
card.
Then there would be no card, no care. That's what this would be. No card, no care.
Well, and not to mention, you know, given the database and the data collection issues with Obamacare itself, this easily dovetails into that as well, because, once they start using it for that, then they not only do they have your driver's license data and any other kind of data associated with you, but then they also have it when you go to get some kind of health care. So there's the tie
now,
from
now
your...
Now, just imagine if it's an RFID chip in it. That was their intention. And they looked at the possibility of using it in 2007 before they put out the rule. And so that means they believe they have the authority to do so. So if everybody gets a federal ID, then we have a national ID system, and then they can easily just require an RFID chip somewhere down the road so that it can actually be tracked.
Right. Well, that's easy. I mean, that almost goes without saying. Okay, so coming up, I want to ask you about the situation where we find ourselves with Obamacare, because, you know, the president campaigned on repealing it. Most of Congress on the Republican side, obviously, campaigned on repealing it. So I want to ask you about some of our local congressmen, where they stand, and I want to ask what's up with this repair thing coming up next. And as I said at the beginning of the show, and I said throughout this segment, just mentioning, you're going to start to see coverage of this as a very controversial issue in this country in the next week or two, especially if they keep the pledge to actually work on this before the end of the first quarter 2017. So we'll talk more about this next. As we continue with Twyla Brays, president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Now, if you want to hear the whole interview and a bunch of other great podcasts, here's what you do. Visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. This should be a pretty nice weekend, and it's a great weekend to check out the selection at xgovernmentcars.com, Minnesota's only dealer specializing in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. I've had three Crown Vics and, of course, Mobile Podcast Command. They all came from xgovernmentcars.com. They're great vehicles. And Ed Johnson at X-Government Cars has a line on X-Government Homeland Security and Border Patrol Expeditions and Yukons. Great SUVs. They also have the Ford Police SUVs, the Ford Police sedans, the Dodge Chargers, the Impala V8s, and other types of vehicles. If you need a car, if you need a loan, if you have a job, you're approved. And of course, X Government Cars takes trades. They pay the highest values every day without all the bull. What do? Well, you get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com in Golden Valley at 2420 Nevada Avenue North. You know, you can call them old school if you want, 763-777-8782. They're open on the weekends. Also, go to xgovernmentcars.com, check out the selection, and it's always fun on a really nice warm spring day to check out what they've got at xgovernmentcars.com. Okay, here's segment three of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show.
xgovernmentcars.com.
You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. If you'd like to hear more of the podcasts, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. We're talking with Twyla Brays, who is an authority on health insurance and health care and the Affordable Care Act. She's probably the best person you can talk to about this in this country at this time, on the eve of potential action by both houses of Congress and the president on some kind of something with the Affordable Care Act. We're not sure, so let's get back to it. So we're talking with Twyla Brays from the Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and we've been talking about Real ID. We talked a little bit more about Real ID, and it's a little scary what you're talking about. And then we get to this question of Obamacare. We're on the steps of the Capitol. They're getting ready to supposedly get rid of Obamacare, but are they?
Oh, my goodness. They've got to. That's really the answer. Now, I was just reading today, I think it was, that McConnell is saying it's absolutely going to happen before the end of the first quarter, which is just imminently right around the corner here.
Right.
And so, and Rand Paul was trying to find the hidden GOP bill that the GOP in the House won't let him see and won't let anybody see. And he's just perturbed by it because he wants to see what it is before it's pounced. My concern really is, and I think, Senator Mike Lee, who I think has one of the sharpest minds in Congress, you know, said we should not muddy up the water right. with trying to do a replacement. But they are all trying to do a replacement. And they shouldn't try to do a replacement. The one and only thing that has to happen, is they've got to repeal it. You know, and that is really simple. They just use a reconciliation, budget reconciliation process. They only need 51 votes. They'll get 51 votes for the most contentious nominee for Trump's cabinet, right? They got it, except for one time that Pence had to come in. So all they have to do is stuff this stuff into the reconciliation bill and 51 votes, 52 votes, and off they go. And they got repealed.
What I'm hearing is that they want to keep tax credits in there for low-income people, and they want to keep the Medicaid expansion intact. Do you have any thoughts about those two things? At least those are the indications that this sort of secret House plan will keep those two elements. Any thoughts on that?
It's entirely possible that they, that they will. The tax credits, though, there is a great deal of consternation amongst the conservatives that this is just another way of doing the subsidy. It's, some people have called it a soft mandate. And so, you know, I'm not sure that they're going to get everyone that they need. And they do need the entire Freedom Caucus. The Freedom Caucus is thinking about
the, House, yeah.
the tax credits, right?
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, that's what I heard. And it's the, it's this whole thing about the mandate, which you're going to have to, you know, this law is so complex. You hear these words bantied about, what is the mandate? Why would they even think about keeping it? And I guess the mandate would then be tied in. That's the way to keep the mandate without calling it the mandate. Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused.
So if they give you tax credits, the government will take more of your money unless you decide to get insurance. And then it's got to fit, you know, the criteria that's called insurance by whatever, you know, is going to be in that bill. And so that is essentially sort of like a mandate through the back door. We, the government, are going to take more of your money unless you decide to buy insurance because we decide that you should buy insurance.
Right.
This is something else that is being considered in the bill, which is to say that if you don't keep continuous coverage, so you aren't continually covered by insurance, then one of the provisions is a mandate for insurance to charge a 30% increased premium. Well, that's another way of doing a mandate. There's just no freedom here. It's like, you know, people should be free to have insurance or not have insurance and then live with the consequences. We should at least just go back to where we were, where we actually had freedom to say yes or no to insurance. It's like the Republicans are okay with continuing some form of a mandate, trying to get all of us covered. But, you know, the whole thing about healthcare is not whether you're covered or not. It's really whether or not you get care. And there's a lot of people covered today having a hard time getting access to care. And so this whole idea of mandating insurance coverage in some form or fashion is just not the way back to freedom.
Well, and I have a lot of questions because, what you know, I've been doing a little bit of research, and one of the things that think tanks and academics say is that the reason Obamacare and some state exchanges won't work is because there aren't enough insurance providers or hospitals in the so-called insurance market in the state. You know, is it a hospital number problem? Is it an insurance provider problem? Is that a fair assessment that that's the only problem with Obamacare, that there aren't tax issues, that there aren't coverage issues, there aren't freedom issues associated with it?
Oh, my goodness. The Obamacare and President Obama and his electronic health record mandate, which was in the Recovery Act 1 year earlier, that has really led to the consolidation of hospitals because the electronic health record mandate was so expensive that a lot of the smaller hospitals and small community hospitals had to either close or merge.
Right.
Right. And so, and then all of the regulatory morass that is in Obamacare has just made it very, very difficult for these smaller entities to survive. So all the big guys are, you know, gobbling up everything. And then when it comes to insurance companies, they're consolidating because that's what they are allowed to do. And all of the non-managed care insurance companies that we used to have, Obamacare made them illegal, essentially made them illegal because it doesn't allow coverage or doesn't allow anyone to buy their policies unless they're under the age of 30.
What's a non-managed insurance policy? What does that mean?
Some people will remember this, but it's really an indemnity policy or a catastrophic policy.
Oh, okay.
It is non-interference. It is there to take care of you, and then it pays you a check to cover the costs, and they know their costs for things, and they pay you that amount of money, and then you pay your doctor and your hospital, and there's not all that overhead from the managed care organizations.
Okay, got it. So
and
that
all of those went away.
And then the other thing that they're saying is that in some states, and you can continue if there's something you want to add to this, but I'll just throw this other question in the interest of time. And I don't know if we're going to have enough time in this segment, but some people are saying in some states that the law has achieved its objectives, being more people are being covered. Do you think that the ACA has achieved its objectives? Is there any objective, any world that exists where the ACA has achieved its objectives?
I don't think some people will say that it has achieved its objective because they'll say more people are covered. But I actually don't think there's all that many more people covered. there's a lot of people that got uncovered because of Obamacare, and then they got recovered a different way. And so that is not new people being covered. That's just being covered a different way.
Right.
And then we've got everybody complaining about the prices. We've got people who are trying to decide, you know, between their mortgage and insurance. You know, we have people who can't afford the coverage now, but they're being forced by government to buy it. And, you know, there's just nothing good about Obamacare. And the thought that Congress wouldn't just repeal it and get rid of the thing. You know, the thing is that we come every day, we come closer to the next election. Every day is one day closer
That's right.
to the next election. And the closer you get to the next election, the more wobbly knee they get.
All right. I want to talk about the Minnesota Healthcare Exchange in particular, and I want to talk about the repeal and what role that might or might not take coming up next. Now, to hear this whole interview and get all the outbound links associated with Twyla's interview, you visit thebobdavispodcasts.com. This is the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Ahead of segment four of this week's Bob Davis Podcast radio show, live from the studio, drinking my coffee. So I was at yoga last night, and on Thursdays I double dip. So I do two in a row. I do a hot and then I do a vinyasa yoga. And I was sitting there waiting for the second class. And you know, those first classes, the hot class is pretty hot. It's 105 degrees, 40% humidity. And a guy goes, "How do you do it?" And I didn't really tell him because my secret is Hydrus. But I mean, the truth is, you can do two in a row easily. Most people can. I just said, you just do it. You know, you're strong enough to do it. Well, what's my secret? The secret is Hydrus. Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. This is a really transformative new high-performance beverage that gets you hydrated very quickly. It uses NanoSome technology to deliver critical electrolytes into your muscles. If you just drink water before something like yoga or CrossFit, it's going to take you a while to get hydrated, whereas Hydrus hydrates you immediately. Sometimes when I start to flag in a class, if I just take a couple sips of Hydrus, it's amazing the difference. So if you want to find out more about Hydrus, you'll find out that it will transform whatever it is that you do. cycling, CrossFit, lifting, competitive sports. We've got wrestlers using it, tennis players using it. It helps you take it to the edge. That is where you grow. That's what it's all about for me. It's being able to double dip on Thursdays so I can do 7 classes in 6 days, and I love it. Join the performance hydration revolution, HydrusPerformance.com. That's HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com, HydrusPerformance.com. Now, when we get into the news in the coming weeks, and I think after we get through the Obamacare controversy and the Jeff Sessions controversy, one of the things you're going to start hearing a lot about are the economic plans of the new president, and one of those plans has to do with taxing corporations for importing goods. You may agree with it, you may disagree with it, but it's a reality for business to deal with. So if you work in a business that is facing this issue and you're preparing to bring some of your manufacturing back to the United States, there are reasons to manufacture in the U.S., and they're not all political. So if your company is considering American manufacturing, please remember DepoStar, American Design Engineering and Manufacturing. Visit DepoStar at DepoStar.com. Okay, here's segment 4 of this week's Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. Here we go. Another plane coming here in the studio. You're listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts radio show. To hear all the podcasts and sign up for the Bob Davis Podcast newsletter, visit thebobdavispodcast.com. Let's get back to our interview with Twyla Braes, president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. We're talking about Obamacare and the plan to repeal it and what's actually possibly going to happen in Congress going forward here in the first quarter of 2017. Where does the Minnesota congressional delegation stand on this? I'm sure Amy Klobuchar and Al Franken would not vote to repeal it, so that's a given. But what about the Republican congressman, especially the ones most recently elected, Tom Emmer, Jason Lewis, and others? What are your thoughts on where their votes are on this?
Well, I'm sure that I've heard both of them talk about it being repealed. I cannot say definitively what they have said about replacement. And I guess I'm not going to comment. I know anybody could Google and figure that out, but I know that they're definitely for having it repealed. Replacing, I think, is where we muddy the waters, as Senator Lee said, and I think it's where things get iffy. It's where questions come up. There's like no questions about repeal. You know, just do it. And, you know, one of the things that we have called on people to do, and I'd love your listeners to do, is just to call Congress and say, repeal it all. Repeal it now. Do not delay.
So they call their congressman's office.
That's right. Yep. I don't care whether they're Democrat or they're Republican. They just need to hear. Repeal it all. Repeal it now. Do not delay.
It was recently revealed, it wasn't revealed, we saw it, that the Minnesota legislature, which is dominated by Republicans, voted to save the failing MinSure local, you know, state health care exchange created by Obamacare, something like $300 million for 1 year to save MinSure, which, you know, why didn't they just let it die? What was the whole thing with that?
Well, it wasn't really about saving MinSure per se. I suppose there's a different ways that people could say it. It was about doing something for people who are experiencing these huge premiums. And so there's like a 25% reduction in your premium that's going to come if you choose to apply for it. It's going to come out of that $312 million that was in a rainy day fund. And so that's going to be available to people to help them reduce their premiums for this year. And I think it might be like 18 months worth. So, but I will say that there is a bill to.
But why do that? I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, I don't want to rehash the whole thing. Do you have a short answer for why do that if the thing's failing, which Aetna just did a study that says they're failing all over the country? If they're failing all over the country, why not let it fail and let people be angry so that there's support for repealing this?
Yeah. Well, we did not support the premium support bill or the premium subsidy bill. No, I guess it was premium support. We didn't support that because, you know, this is money in a rainy day fund. Why are we using it for this?
Right. I think
it
plus was you're all creating politics. A new subsidy.
It's politics.
Yeah. You're just creating another subsidy. Wait, the Republicans creating a new subsidy. How is that possible?
And Dayton wanted it. The Republicans wanted it. They wanted it done in the first month, even less than a month. And so they just whipped that thing. And I know from following it that they didn't do it even in a way that was transparent to the Minnesota public. They took one bill, they split it up into a variety of pieces, gave each piece a different bill number so they could hear them all basically on almost the same day. There were seven hearings on one day. We didn't even know about two of the hearings. It was so hard to keep up. So the whole agenda here was just to get this thing passed, to spend this, you know, more than $300 million and to say that they did it. Right. It was just that the Republicans have given the people premium relief. That's what it was called, the premium relief bill.
So much for principles. So, OK, so we got, a 5 or 6 minutes left. So I'm going to ask you, because we keep hearing repair, repeal, blah, 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 blah. What is the path to getting rid of this and getting people to the point where insurance is affordable and works for people to get health care, which is really the objective? It's not, and people always say health care. We know we're talking about health insurance, but ultimately it's about being able to go to the doctor and make sure you're okay or do what you need to do to deal with whatever problem you have.
Well, the first thing that has to happen after repeal, so repeal is first is repeal. But the next thing that has to happen is for the federal government to realize that the problem with healthcare today is the federal government, the fact that they ever got involved in it. So we should not exchange one bad federal program for another federal program. It's really about devolving it back to the states and the people in those states, which makes it less expensive, which makes it more local, and which gets the federal government and all its regulatory morass out of our lives and the lives of the doctors and patients. And so what they really should do is repeal Obamacare and then start sending everything back to the states. And they could do that with Medicaid, with Medicaid block grants. They could give money to set up high-risk pools for people with pre-existing conditions. But at the end of the day, there's something even better that they should start. They should encourage, the third thing is that they should make sure that they repeal the prohibition on traditional catastrophic indemnity insurance, the non-interference insurance, the one that's not managed care and all the bureaucrats, right? And all those folks.
So it's an indemnity, basically.
That's right. That's how insurance used to be before managed care. And the reason why healthcare is so expensive today is because of managed care, because of Medicare, because of Medicaid, and because of managed care. And so we really have to just get back to real insurance. And then one of the things that they could do, which is an idea of ours, is to encourage these insurance companies to offer insurance pre-birth. And we would love parents to buy a policy for their child before the child's born and then hand it off to the child when the child matures. And then everybody should own their own individual health insurance policy. It will be affordable because they will choose an affordable policy. It will be portable. They can take it anywhere that they want. And it can be lifelong. And they don't even have to have Medicare. And then the other thing they should do is they should let people escape from Medicare and escape and keep their private policies. And we've been working on that in Congress to get them to disconnect Medicare Part A enrollment with Social Security benefits. Right now, as a result of a rule, not a law, just a rule in the Clinton administration, if you do not participate in Medicare Part A, you lose your Social Security benefits. There was a lawsuit, and the Supreme Court decided not to hear it, but it had Dick Armey as one of the plaintiffs. And so all it takes is for the Trump administration to do an executive order to strike that off of their books, and people could be free to leave Medicare.
Okay,
Social Security.
And in the interest of time, how do you deal with creating a market or allowing the market that's there to exist without interference through state lines, where we have state regulators for insurance and everything else? Considering what we talked about with Real ID, isn't this the purveyance of the state? How would you be able to sell insurance across state lines, or would you?
Right. Well, I think that that's a question. Some people say this is just a ridiculous thing to do, but there's a lot of other insurance that we have across state lines, right? We don't lose every insurance that we've got just because we move to another state. My life insurance doesn't go away just because I moved to another state. And so I think that there is definitely something that could be done there. But I think if we move away from managed care, we will see how much simpler everything becomes in health insurance. Very, very simple. This whole thing, the managed care industry has made everything complex, has made the insurance commissioners in every state have to do so much work because these are complicated industries. Regular traditional insurance is not so complicated.
Thank you a ton for coming on to do this because we'll have to see. I'm sure your fingers are crossed going forward, but I suppose we should talk again when we start counting heads or noses, so to speak, with the legislature. But when do you think that this will come up? You said McConnell said before the end of the first quarter, which is actually coming up.
That's right. And Paul Ryan said after their President's Day recess, which is now done. So we would expect it to be any time. And as I said, Rand Paul went looking for the bill, I guess the room was empty. I saw the picture. The room was empty. So I don't know what all that means. They probably just scurried it away before they let all the media in, because as soon as he went looking for it, the media went looking for it. And so I'm sure they just took it out of wherever they were and put it somewhere else. I don't ever cross my fingers.
I love you. You're like, I'm going to get this done. We don't rely on things like crossed fingers. That's good.
No, we don't.
Thank you, Twyla Brace, president of the Citizens Council for Health Freedom. Really appreciate you taking the time. And again, for more info, you can check the links at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thank you for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show.
Blah, blah. You look
Thanks for listening to this week's Bob Davis Podcast Radio Show. Thanks again to xgovernmentcars.com for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast, Minnesota's only dealer that specializes in one-owner, professionally maintained government fleet cars, trucks, and SUVs. We're talking SUVs now. We're talking these Homeland Security Expeditions and Yukons, plus the Crown Vicks, the Dodge Chargers, the Impala V8s, and more at xgovernmentcars.com. Also, Hydrus Performance, HYDRU. HydrusPerformance.com. This is the new sports drink that really gets you hydrated. It's great for almost every discipline, whether you really work out crazy like CrossFit and yoga people, or whether you're just walking around the block. Hydrus makes a huge difference. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing at RyanPlumbing.com. Let me quick grab the numbers. Because if you need emergency service for plumbing with the variable weather we're having, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. On the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, there is streaming there that pretty much activates if you're on a desktop. Some phones it will activate, but it's a great way to listen to the podcast because we rotate the last three podcasts on the stream, and I love it. And thanks for listening on iTunes and subscribing on iTunes and right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Lots of resources. For those of you that just heard the radio show, a lot of the links are right there for you to click on to find out more about CCHF and Real ID and Obamacare. Also, listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on TuneIn and Stitcher.com, Blog Talk Radio, for the radio show at The Patriot in Minneapolis, and GCNLive.com. And I also appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting on social media, particularly Facebook and Twitter, but I love Instagram. That's my favorite. And of course, thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command right at the Bob Davis Podcast. This is podcast 607, this week's radio show. I'm going to have a weekend, drink my coffee, and chill.